Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 111, part 2, Faint but Not Faint of Heart. Today is Sunday, August 23rd, 2009. Hello, thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. A bit about Pastor Paul's mission. You know, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why do I say that? Because we have no boundary restrictions. So if you live in Minnesota, you can come to Pastor Paul's, and we're located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue. It is located at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online to get a little bit more information about Pastor Paul's, and that address is www.pastorpaul.org. You can also make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. And there you're also going to find the show notes to Pastor Paul's podcasts, where you can leave those comments, make those suggestions, or give a testimony. You're also going to find scriptures to the messages located in the show notes, so be sure to check out those scripture links. Also, email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. If you've been following Pastor Paul's podcast, you know that we do have two parts. Each message is broken down into two parts. One is aired on Friday. I try to post it Friday by evening and on Sunday as well. So be sure to listen to both parts of the message. And I hope you're getting a lot out of them. I know I am. Now, this month, the month of August, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of some titles of the messages that we're going to post this month. Where He Leads, I Will Follow. Jesus, the Light of Men, Faint but Not Faint of Heart, A Vain Showing. Those are some of the messages for the month of August. Well, August in Minnesota is really nice and hot. It's a great month to come and visit. So again, I'm encouraging you, if you are from out of town, come on in and enjoy some Minnesota hot weather. And at the end of the month, a little sign that summer has come to an end for us in Minnesota is the Minnesota State Fair. We call it the Minnesota Get Together. It is the best, the best. I'm going to leave a link all month in the show notes to the Minnesota State Fair. I've been going to the fair forever. I'm not quite that old forever, but I love the fair. It's so much fun. You can do everything at the fair. Be sure to check out their site map. Okay, that's it for me. I will see you back here on the intro for September. I hope you have a great month and listen to each of his messages this month. They're absolutely going to be the best. God bless you. Have a great month.
Well, and then after that, they had to go and have a mop-up crew. See, it's the mop-up after the victory that tires one out. Did you ever paint? And the painting is easy. It's the getting ready. And then the cleaning up, the brushes and the paint. So now everybody buys throwaway rollers and throwaway brushes. Huh? And now they're so lazy they got throwaway houses. Everything is just instant throwaway, isn't it? But it's the mop-up. It's the fighting after the battle that is often most severe. That's like when they take over a country, like when we went into Germany. They got into Germany, actually defeated Germany. Or when the Germans got into Greece, they actually defeated them. But then when they got inside there, the Greeks were all around them up in the mountains. Now they had a job. See? Say amen, somebody. You can win, but the mop-up thing, the after thing, that's like we got this building. So big deal, we got this building. And I came in here and this thing was falling down. Now the war started. The war on rust and decay and mold. The war on wiring and the war on boiler and the war on this and the war on that. See, it's after you get in. It's like when you open up a business. Well, you get the business opened up, but now you're in it. Right? How many in here know what I'm talking about? Well, you know, what we'll do is, and John and the guys opened a business, I'm sure they found this out. And they had all these plans and everything, and we'll start this contracting and so on like that, and we'll open this business or a rug business or whatever. And I've got plans, and these are beautiful. God says, make plans, and I'll establish them. But also, we have to learn how to wait on the Lord, because the Lord might not want you in that particular place, not just yet. Praise God when he closes all the doors. Don't try to kick him down. Praise God when he opens up. Be faithful to go on through. But don't you see what I say? Well, after that, the battle is over, and you've won, and you've conquered this country, now what do you do with them? Now the mop-up comes. Now the commanding the devil in the name of Jesus comes. Now the takeover comes. It's like when you get saved. You get saved, that's the, wow, that wasn't so bad. Now the battle within starts. Now the real repenting starts. Now the real evil self is brought forth. Now that Gideon army on the inside has to take over. Ooh. Are you hearing this? It's the mop-up. It's the toughest part of the fight. It's after that the enemy begins to flee. Now the enemy flees. And you get rid of this certain thing. And he flees. But you know what? He creeps in sometimes with seven words. He creeps in, creeps in, creeps in, creeps in. Huh? Be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. Oh, I started to think about being a martyr one time. Oh, I really got into it. Did you ever get into thinking you'd be a martyr for God? I've been one a couple times. I haven't died yet. I mean, you know, you almost wished you were dead. But you ever get into that? You read these books on martyrs and you think, wow. And I thought, you know what would be worse? And I started thinking, it would be okay if they would just chop off my head and it'd be over. But what if they put me on a slow spit and I went around and around, a slow roast? Ooh. And my flesh would melt away slowly. You know what would kill me most is the people standing on the outside. Ha, 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 ha. See, it's time that kills Christians. It's that steady, every day, every week, every month, every year, do, 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 is that doing? They don't want to get in the mop-up. Say, hey, we want a battle. Isn't that enough? They're on the run. Let's get out of here. Let them go. No, you better chase the enemy. Well, let's claim them gone. God, I'm tired. Huh? Claim all you want. God has given you a job. God has given you the victory, but you got to go out and get it. Never think that you've grown so much in experience that you cannot fall. That's when you will fall. You read in the Bible where all these old saints fell. Because old age and experience also makes fools of those who rely on that instead of God. Also, these brave men hadn't taken any refreshments on. They hadn't had anything to eat. Oh boy, there's, you know, some of us Christians, if we don't get nothing to eat, we just die. I'm so hungry, I gotta eat first. Huh? They went into battle at night, and they were not chewing on a McDonald's. I mean, they went down into battle for battle. They weren't down there to eat, they were down there for battle. And so they didn't take any refreshments with them. Okay, then they had rooted out the enemy that night, and there had been slaying and confusion and yelling, and they had this tremendous joy and this welling up on the inside, the sapping, the joy, it comes, ooh, ooh, and this exhilaration going through their whole bodies, and they were ready to lay down. They had such a good laugh, and everything went so well. And God says, pursue the enemy! And they had to take off with nothing to eat. Ooh. Ooh. We read that they took no food with them. And people, don't you ever think that you can get along without spiritual food? Don't you ever think you can sit home and watch some kind of a soap and get a spiritual feeding? It just will not happen. You need to come to the house of God, and you need to not forsake the gathering of the saints, and you need to come together, and you need to come together to listen. Are you hearing that on the radio? And so that you're filled up, and so that you're charged up, and so that you're fit for battle, and so that God can speak to you through the anointing and give you direction, and you're built up. Or maybe you listening are one of the, 30,000 that took off. I don't know. Maybe sometimes when people are sitting in church or listening on the radio or to a tape, they take off and their minds take off and the world calls it flake out. That's a good word. They sort of flake out. Whoo! Oh, God. Ooh. God, help me with this message. Thank you, Lord. But what, in closing, what child of God who engages faithfully in the work and the warfare of this life does not at some time feel faint? Stand in the position who finds himself deserted by those who seem to be his friends. Has that happened to you? And all of a sudden there's a desertion. You look around. Ooh, that'll make you faint, won't it? But you better keep pursuing. Or those who glide away at the smell of the enemy's sweat. And doesn't our hearts, don't they grow sick when all about us there are cowards who leave before the great battle? Your soul is ready to faint as one after another crawl into the woodwork. Oh, when persecution comes, one after another, you're going to see Christians crawling up and getting into the woodwork and peeking out over the ledge of this woodwork like so many schmoes were here. Why? Because it's going to get heavy. Because they're going to look down off of the top of this mountain, down into the valley down there, and see all of this army, 150,000 of them with full camel dress and swords and meaner than hell itself with scars all over and har, 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 meaty type guys. And they're going to say, whoa! Let me out of here. I decided I got to go home and finish a house, or I got somebody to bury there, or I just want to say goodbye to my friends. Oh, God, help us. Whew. When it comes to holding up Jesus Christ on your job, holding him up, and everybody kind of, well, you know, she's kind of different. I think she's got into some kind of a cult or something. You know what I mean? Better stay away from her. She witnessed to me the other night. She's acting kind of strange. You know, when you first get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you are kind of strange. Well, you're a stranger to yourself for sure. Then the first thing you think is, maybe I have gone zonkers. Maybe I am coming on too heavy. No, you're not the same person. You don't recognize yourself. Neither does anyone else. But you have to keep pursuing the same course and keep right on witnessing at work. Now, is that right? And you have to keep right on witnessing at work, and you have to keep right on pursuing the enemy, and you have to pray for your enemy. You know why you pray for your enemies? To make friends out of them. You don't need enemies. You pray for them. Make them friends. Bring them to Jesus, but you have to pursue it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And you know what will happen? Pretty soon, one by one, they'll come up and they'll say, do you have the answer to this question? You seem like you have so much peace on yourself. You seem like, now I know you're tired, you're doing this and this and this and this, and yet you're coming to work, and yet you're pursuing this cause all the time. Why? And then you can tell them, I'm one of Gideon's army. No, you don't have to say that. They'll think you're totally nuts. Unless the Spirit leads you. Ooh. Now let's close this up and let's look at the strength of the divine grace and leave the first point that we had here. This weakness of the flesh. These 300 men, we said, were faint yet pursuing. They could march feebly, but they marched. They could yield the sword or wield the sword, but you know, weakly, but they still did it. But also, although they were faint, they were not faint in their heart. When the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. Well, you aren't led by the flesh. You're led by the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit has to pick up weak flesh and push it along. Well, they still believed, didn't they, these brave men? Yes, they did. They still had a brave stomach, let's call it guts, for the fight. They had not wavered in their resolution. Don't waver in your resolution. They were going to conquer the enemy of their country, or they were going to die trying. They wanted to completely do the job. They could have said, let's go back home. I mean, we made them hightail it. They're running. I mean, let them go. I am tired. I'm exhausted. And so then we must go on in the battle until the very end. Our cause must be greater than the conflict. You're always going to, wherever you're lifting up Christ and whenever you're doing the work of Christ, there's going to be an inward conflict within you, within your home, within the body of Christ. But your cause must be greater than the conflict. But then these men were driven forward by what? Hope. And although they were faint, they felt, he has taken us thus far. Surely he won't desert us now. I will never leave you, no, never leave you, no, never leave you, no, never leave you, no, never leave you or forsake you. That's what Jesus said in the original Greek. No, never, no, never, no, never, no, never. Now, when God says it three times, don't you think he wants to make it an emphatic, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you? Here we are today, standing down here in this mission ministry. Yes, we might grow weary. We may become faint, but let us keep on pursuing. Don't let you listening on the radio, to all the ministries, to all the body of Christ worldwide, don't let Satan speak through your friends. Your friends may be used of Satan to say, give up, lay down, drink. Oh, let the others lap up water like dogs. Take off your armor, go back home. The enemies are running. So now just rest a while. Sit around and counsel one another for a year or two, for goodness sake. But don't get into the work, and don't get into the war, and don't get into the Great Commission. Just sit around and talk and tea and coffee and talk about all your problems. Let somebody else take over. You've done your part. Isn't that the fault of all of us? Sometimes we think we have done our part. I've done more than my share. Didn't you give your body to God as a living and sacrifice? Holy and acceptable unto him, didn't you? We're just throwing a foot and a hand. Here, take these. Use them for a while, if you will. I'd like to have them back, if I could. Huh? No, you've given your body. Oh, that's so hard for people. Hey, I'm tired. Isn't that famous? Isn't that our famous thing? I'm so, let somebody else do it. Why do I always get the work? You get the blessings, too. You get the rewards, too. Isn't that right? Oh, you're going to see people up there that have cleaned toilet bowls with crowns way up here because they were faithful cleaning toilet bowls. They never wavered. Doesn't matter what you do, it's the spirit you do it in. It's your obedience that's better than sacrifice. Why is it better than sacrifice? So when we sacrifice something, we say, hey, I made a sacrifice. So what? Oh, God, help me to finish this message up without too many people throwing stones at me. I feel them coming off the radio right now. Enough is enough! I'm just going to sit under a tree, a faith tree, and yell claims at God. That's it. I'll claim it by faith and let Gideon and his 300 wear themselves out pursuing. Bunch of dummies. And Christians, don't you listen to this for one little old minute. Don't you do it. You know why? There is a great victory on the way. There is a great victory right around the corner. It's not the time to sit down. It's not the time to get into endless talking about the Word of God. It's time to get into doing the Word of God and pursuing the enemy. My God, it's time to get a-going. That's why it's so boring being a Christian, because you're not involved, don't you see? And you're a sightseer. And sightseers are always sitting around burping up Pepsi-Cola and Frito-Lay potato chips while they're watching everybody else do it, and they say, I'd like to be in it, but I don't think I'm capable of it. You know why they're not capable? They are 900-pound word hogs that have never given out the word. They have just fed upon the word, and they're so heavy and fat and ridiculous in the word because they don't give it out that they can't move. Don't grow weary. Don't faint. Keep pursuing. There's a victory right around the corner. And it seems to me like everybody's waiting for a word. All right? I am going to give you a word this morning. I have one for the whole of the body of Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. And then she answers over the radio, "But I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. I've been lied about. I mean, I'm disappointed." Who are you that you should not be disappointed, my dear? I mean, did you think that being a Christian, you'd never be disappointed? Let's have a fireside chat here. Did you think that being a Christian meant that you'd never be disappointed? So what? So what? Yet be pursuing. Who are you? Are you God that you should never be disappointed? Never be. I'm sure God was disappointed with some of the things we do, but he keeps on pursuing us, and Jesus keeps pursuing our salvation unto the very end and the eons of time. Now get up. What you call radiotherapy. It makes them mad. They either get mad or glad one way or another. They get up and get busy. That's the point of this whole message, is to get a Gideon army together. And the rest of them, they can just scatter them on the radio. They can scatter, run for the hills, go back to wherever they came from. Let's all then become part of the Gideon army for God, instead of the 30,000 who left the valley of trial for the mountain of watch and see, that spectator mountain where they sit by the way and they tell others how to run the race and how to battle a foe, how dumb they are because they didn't do it this way or that way. Don't you, in closing, listen to the devil, the Antichrist, that spirit that's all over now. Maybe you're listening today and you have conflict in prayer. Maybe you've been pleading for a soul and you have not had the victory yet. Maybe it's for a husband and maybe it's for a wife. Maybe it's for your child and maybe it's for a friend. But don't you faint. Though faint, still be pursuing. Go for it. Wrestle with the angel of God until he says, "Yes, I'll give you a blessing," but just keep right on pursuing the cause. Glory to God. Maybe you stood up for the truth and it cost you losses and crosses. Have you been brought under suspicions and misrepresentation? Have you lost some of your dear his friends, and now they talk about you and despise you, and the Bible doesn't say that you be hated in the house of your friends? Oh yes. Maybe they say, "Oh, he's just like a dog lapping water." Glory to God, that's what I want to be. Does all this tempt you then to say, "I give up. Let what happened will happen. I don't care anymore. I'm going to move over to greener pastures. I'm going to go out to California out there and put up a privacy fence and close myself in, and I'll be alone with God." No, you'll be alone with your conscience. Stop before you move. Stop before you leave a work that God has put you into. You listening, no matter where you go or where you are, stop and say this: "By his grace, faint as I am, I will still be pursuing." Glory to God. And now lastly, let's make a point out of the lessons of example that we learned here through these wonderful Gideon soldiers today. And number one, I believe it's serve the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. My God, we're all saved by grace. Forever saved by it. Forever and forever and forever. Then serve with all your strength. Serve him with a whole heart. Serve Him with all your goods, and serve Him with all your alms, and serve Him with all your talents, and serve Him with all that you can invent, and serve Him with all that you can achieve. Serve Him with your all. Glory to God. Is there then, I ask you this question, any part of us that we should hold back? No. I believe we should exhaust every effort. We should come close to exhaustion in our own physical bodies, glory to God, but that we should still pursue. Let us then serve the Lord when every moment is painful. Have you ever been in that situation? When to even think it's becomes wearisome. And some only pray when they feel like it. And some only help when they feel like it. And some only give when they feel like it. And all, to be truthful, if I only preach when I felt like it, I'd only preach about 4 or 5 times a year. When I really felt like it. But don't you see, if I did it when I felt like it, it would be of self. It's when I'm weak. It's when I'm feeble. It's when I have no strength of my own. It's when His strength is made perfect through my weakness that then and then only is the anointed message going to come. Not before. Preacher, if you're listening to me today, you can get weary, you can get faint, but you pursue because God will bless you and God will bless your ministry and God will bless you. He might even let you be a martyr. Which reserves what? A special crown. Ooh, there's a lot of people that clean their houses when they feel like it. And they got to take a run at the door. They got to stand back and the whole family has to charge the door to get in because there's so much junk in the house. Did you ever start something and you didn't feel like it and you pursued it and you thought, well, I'm going to finish this thing, and you start cleaning like pots or something? And pretty soon you get into it. Give me that pot. And pretty soon you find yourself mopping the floor. And pretty soon you, that looks pretty good. And they get there, start wiping down the walls. Oh, great, that's great. And these stainless steel sinks. I think I'll clean the ice boxes out. And you know what? Because that you pursued, God gave you the power to overcome your laziness and your sluggardness and your sloth. And you got busy. And you did it work, and you finally say, you know what, I feel pretty good. You know why? God was with you. You did it when you were faint, but yet you pursued in doing good, and the good overcame the evil in you that says, I'm going to lay down. God says, no, if you'll just put forth that one little effort, I'll fill you to overflowing, preacher. I'll give you a message. I'll anoint you. I'll make you feel like something. And then when you get all done, you'll feel like you're all drained out. But that's what I got to fill you up again for the next battle. Oh, I thought to myself, it's so easy to serve God when the hoorays are there. I remember the first night we came in here and the house was just loaded with all the well-wishers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And He spoke to me. He says, you suck all this in because it ain't going to be like this for long. And that's what came to me. And I told the people that. I says, you know what? Everybody's sitting in here at that particular time. Don't be surprised if you go out there and all your hubcaps are gone. Now, don't get fearful. I says, God is putting us down here into work. And I says, you'll be surprised at how many are going to be here after the smoke clears. Now, I want to tell you something. I have become faint down here a lot of times. But yet, God has given me the power to pursue. And that's the grace of God. I have had every demon to hell come against what we're doing down here. And we are chasing the enemy out, lickety split. And we're not going to let one little cockroach back in again. We're going to seek and destroy. Say amen, somebody. Maybe we'll serve and we'll have to drag ourselves into battle. You know what I mean? You have to drag yourself in the battle, and the enemy's over there, and you're being as quiet as you can, huh? And you can't make it. Say, oh, God, my legs, I can't move another step. God, help me. And you know what happens? Huh? All of a sudden, you hear that trumpet, and woo! That's the way it happens with me. Say, God, I can't go on. I'm weary and I'm faint. But your word says to pursue, and the enemy's dead ahead, Lord. Here's your pitcher, and here's the lamp, and here's the trumpet. When I say now, rise up. See, it's the power of God. Oh, it's so easy to follow when the hurrahs are around, but how about when the insults and the crucify him abound? Woo! Oh, preachers, we're like the standard bearers. We're like those that hold up the flag, and they're all kind of looking every once in a while, fighting to look and see if the flag is still up. Don't lay down the flag. Don't lay down the standard. Don't do it. People right now are looking for a direction. You Gideon preachers know exactly what I'm talking about. Be hopeful when you're the feeblest. And just as these men were when they were very few of them, and when they were very faint, then they expected victory. When I am very faint and I'm down to my last nickel, then I expect victory. The victory. Whew. How many times has this ministry been to its last nickel? And God has come in. This little ministry on the north side is giving away in excess of $300,000 a year. Where does it come from? Talk about missions. The whole thing is a mission. It is a mission well. Isn't that wonderful? And now it's about ready to double. You know what'll happen when it doubles? There'll be a few little people that will say, well, you know what? Bye, bye. How many heard what I said? God is ready for an increase. And God is ready for a doubling. And it's going to make some people fearful because we're where we're at, being broke. What are we going to do when we have to double? It's when we're at our very feeblest moment that God is going to answer. Feeblest. When there is nobody and God draws back everybody, I mean everybody, from the vision that preacher that God gives you, and no one, it seems like you can't tell anybody because you're too afraid of it yourself. It's when he comes in and you're down there by the wine press hiding, and the angel of the Lord comes in and says, oh, mighty man of valor, and you say, who, me? Yeah, you, God has chosen you for this job. Get up. You're a mighty man of valor because God said so, not because you feel like it. Get up. God will light your candle. Oh, God, help us. Oh, time is passing. The hourglass is about run out of time. Let us be faint yet pursuing. Let us have a good tired at the end of the week. Do you ever have a good tired? And I'm all done. But did you ever have a good tired when you're tired? But it's a good tired and you sit back and you look and the... Whew. You have those, don't you, Dean? When you get all done painting, you look back and it's a fantastic job and you say, I'm tired, but I feel good. Where the mechanic, he's tired, but the car runs and the more...
huh?
When you overcome and you have that good, good feeling, and you lay down at night and you have obeyed the Lord, and he gives rest to his beloved, and he says, sleep, sleep. And you lay down and you have that restful sleep.
Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? If you don't have him, you just put your hand up and say, I would like to have Jesus as my personal Savior. I don't know for sure. I'll come pray with you. It only takes 30 seconds to receive Jesus into your heart. Now, it's not going to any type of denomination even coming here. You could walk out of here and not be saved. Just because you come here doesn't get you saved. Just because you're a Methodist with a method doesn't get you saved. Just because you went to confirmation doesn't get you saved. Just because you said a confession, just because you said so many Hail Marys, that ain't going to get you saved. Just because you come from a godly family, my grandma always prayed for me, that ain't going to get you saved. She prayed that you pray to get saved. If you're listening on the radio right now, it's up to you to make the decision. The choice is up to you. There's a choice. You can either go to heaven or you can go to hell. You go to heaven by saying, yes, I'm a sinner, and come into the Lord. That's how you get to heaven. Not on how good you are, because nobody'd ever make it. Nobody. But that you knew Jesus and that you confessed before men Jesus is Lord. Do you have Jesus in your heart, honey? Are you born again? Would you like to pray today? I think it's the time. You pray right after me and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom and knowledge, peace, joy, and love. And Lord, a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I am saved. And no one can take that away from me. Did you know that? That once you're saved, God will never leave you. Never, never, never. Never. Is there anyone else near that doesn't have Jesus as a personal Savior? Don't miss out. Don't put it off and say, I'll do it next week. You walk out of here and you could drop dead. I just talked to a girl the other day and says, well, I was a Christian. I accepted Jesus way back there. But now I believe, you can get there in many ways. Be a Buddha or whatever and just, I'll get there. I said, sister, get your testimony straight. God's after you. He sent you down here for me to give you a message. Get right with God. And get your testimony straight. She says, you tell me the end of the world's coming? I says, the end of the world might come for you tonight. You might drop dead tonight. And that will be God taking you home. Anyone in here that doesn't know? You know, the Spirit of the Lord here today is here for deliverance. So if you have something that you've been holding on to, say, Lord, take it right now. So if you're tears,